represent the character of Christ. Every particular particle of selfishness must be expelled from the soul. In carrying forward the work he gave to our hands, it would be necessary for us to give every jot and tittle of our means that we can spare. Poverty and distress in families will come to our knowledge, and afflicted and suffering ones will have to be relieved. We know very little of the human suffering that exists everywhere about us. But as we have opportunity, we should be ready to render immediate assistance to those who are under severe pressure. The squandering of money in luxuries deprives the poor of the means necessary to supply them with food and clothing. That which is spent for the gratification of pride in dress, in buildings, in furniture, and in decorations would relieve the distress of many wretched, suffering families. God's stewards are to minister to the needy. The giving that is the fruit of self-denial is a wonderful help to the giver. It imparts an education that enables us more fully to comprehend the work of him who went about doing good, relieving the suffering, and supplying the needs of the destitute. Constant self-denial and benevolence is God's remedy for the cankering sins of selfishness and covetousness. God has arranged systematic benevolence to sustain his cause and relieve the necessities of the suffering and the needy. He has ordained that giving should become a habit, that it may counteract the dangerous and deceitful sin of covetousness. Continuous giving starves covetousness to death. Systematic benevolence is designed in the order of God to tear away treasures from the covetous as fast as they are gained and consecrate them to the Lord to whom they belong. The constant practice of God's plan of systematic benevolence weakens covetousness and strengthens benevolence. If riches increase, men, even those professing godliness, set their heart upon them, and the more they have, the less they give to the treasury of God. Thus, riches makes men selfish, and hoarding feeds covetousness, and this evil strengthens by active exercise. God knows our danger and has hedged about us what means to prevent our ruin. He requires the constant exercise of benevolence, that the force of habit in good works may break the force of habit in the opposition direction.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, you've given us an opportunity to be alive today. As we see the signs being fulfilled, Father, we realize that more than ever before, we need you to lead us each step of the way. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that continue to lead in the lives and the affairs of men. We thank you for your angels that are working overtime to protect your people everywhere. Be with those, Father, that have lost loved ones, because the signs foretell us that as time begins to move on, it will indeed get worse. And here we can see, in the late stage of its history, definitely it is getting worse. So, Father, we pray a double portion upon your spirit today, a double portion of your guidance and your protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to us for the first time. If you have any questions or comments, whatever they may be, about the topic that we're discussing this afternoon, and by the way, our topic this afternoon is covetousness. We'll be dealing with the last commandment, which deals with covetousness. We will finish off what we started last week. And like I was saying, if you have any questions or comments and you want to reach us, you could reach us at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or if you happen to have the internet, you could go to our website. That's www.tpministries.org, where we have articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Renrick. We also have past shows, and we also have links to very interesting sites that will help you in your study of the scriptures. We also have some health tips that will help you to be healthier and stronger and understand how your body works much better. Now, this afternoon, Brother Renrick is not with us. He's vacationing this weekend, so we want to say happy vacation to wherever Brother Renrick is vacationing this afternoon. But Turning Point is still here. And before we get into our study of covetousness this afternoon, we're going to ask Brother Paul to brief us on some of the articles he might have read and seen in the papers and give us a spiritual comment on those. Thank you very much, Brother Renrick.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Once again, is much more grateful and thankful as we come into your homes today, or your cars, or your boats, wherever you are today, enjoying this day of day off from work. Last week, in the paper, the Sea Hollow incident with the young people that lost, some of them that lost their lives, and also some of them that fell ill effect on some of that tragic accident and other boats that were involved, the Six and the Star, whatever the other boat name of the government. Well, this week passed, some of the victims from that crash chained themselves, or at least handcuffed themselves, to the gate of the Prime Minister's house, trying to get the attention of the government to see if they can assist them in which way they possibly can. Also, last week in the newspaper, there was a section, the religious section, where people are now being taught how to become kingdom millionaires and making themselves much more richer. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being rich, but the thing is, when you get rich, what it is you're going to do with the funds? Are you going to use it for upbuilding of the kingdom of God, or are you going to use it for upbuilding the kingdom of yourself to get a bigger house or find a car or some more expensive clothing or more assets for your house? Are you going to use it really for the preaching of the gospel? Because every dollar that the Lord is blessed with will be used for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's very important, as we see times begin to dwindle on that, as we focus on these things, let us keep heaven in mind, because as we see the signs being fulfilled, surely this world is wrapping up. And then on a side note, the young man that they found on the sidewalk, I think it was on Wednesday evening, that young man is also a neighbor of mine. Last week I told you about two other young people from my community who lost their lives. And this week, yet we have another one that has passed, Mr. Craig Smith. You know, just on Tuesday, I think it was, Craig stopped at my shop, and he was under heavy, heavy sedation of drinking rum. And I said, Craig, I said, why don't you check yourself into the institution once again to see if you can get yourself clean up? He said, oh, Mr. Paul, the only thing I really want is a dollar. I said, what do you want a dollar for, Craig? He said, I want to buy me some soda. I said, no, Craig, you don't need no soda. And then come to find out, just the next day after, Craig was found laying on the pavement right there on Market Street. So my heart goes out to his family, that you can pray for his sister Monique and the rest of the family members, that they will be strengthened during this time. And I mean, if there was ever a time that alcohol use and its effects that need to be stamped out in the communities in the world and even in the Bahamas, the time is now. Because in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, the Lord gives a strong warning to those who sell alcohol, or rum, or beer, or wines, or spirits. That's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15 to 16, where it says a great woe will be upon those that sell it, and also those that distribute it, and also those that give it to their friends.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul, and that's very sad to hear that somebody who we know has fell down on the road and died. We want to pray for their family in truth, especially this time of the year. My father died some time ago at this time of the year, so I know it's a very sad time to have a family member die during this season of the year, when everybody's having fun and carousing and partying and so forth. But Paul, we're going to be dealing with thou shalt not covet. Could you tell our audience what does it mean to covet?
In a nutshell, Brother Jordan, the word covet simply means to desire something that someone else has had. There's nothing, maybe not wrong with you wanting to have that, but the purpose is, for which reason do you really want it? If you want it just because you see someone else has it, have it, and you don't really want it for that to be of good use, then the Bible considers that coveting. So it's very important for us to ask ourselves, for which reason do you really want that it is that you're looking at? And if you can't give a good spiritual reason for it, it may be best you leave that alone. And if you find yourself in a struggle trying to stay away from that thing that you know is not pleasing the eyesight of God, then take it before the Lord and ask Him for the power to strengthen you to give that coveting desire up.
Brother Paul, last week we talked about certain issues that the Christian church, we say, are coveting. And as we look at the Christian world today, we see that they are coveting some things that we didn't see when we were young boys in the church, you're now seeing today. And I wouldn't even talk about our parents or even our grandparents. One of the things that we see a lot of churches having now, and especially now it's coming close to January, is Super Bowl parties. Why is the church coveting Super Bowl parties?
Well, Brother Julian, I know when I was in the world, Super Bowl was something I looked forward to every year. You know, but I remember one particular time after I gave my heart to the Lord, I was watching a football game. And you know, in football, you can actually, once you make contact with the ball, it's right for the other team to hit you in a correct way. I mean, there are ways that you can hit when you cannot hit. But once you make contact with the ball, you can actually sweep that person off their feet. And this gentleman, he had a good, very vertical jump. I mean, he got a jump at least about 5 feet. And in the midst of that jump, the gentleman just hit his legs away from him, and he fell on his neck. And the gentleman who did the contact was just dancing around a party around. The Lord just asked me the question, do you think that's of the Lord? But the reason why I believe the churches went to this means of trying to have Super Bowl parties is that they don't believe the gospel really is power. The Bible is quite clear, love not the world, neither things that are in the world, and anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What part of football glorifies God? It's the same thing with boxing, all these other rest of sports. Anything that desires competition or promotion of trying to beat the other person down, be assured God has nothing to do with this. Because he is quite clear in his word that all of us are equally just before his eyes. Matter of fact, the Bible says he loves us so much, he even know the numbers of hair are upon our heads. And we bet, he said, if you were to jump overboard, if you were to hurt one of his little ones. And that includes the entire world, the whole population. So when men on the outside and women on the outside see the church having these things, it sends a double standard to those who are looking on, that the church is definitely losing its way. I mean, if you don't believe this to be true, just do a survey of some of the young men and young women that hang out at these clubs when they go to these Super Bowl parties. It's just so sad to know today that instead of the church converting the world is converting the church. What a sad commentary to be said about the church of Jesus Christ that he paid an ultimate price for over 2,000 years ago.
But Paul, in our off-air conversation, you talk about gambling, that the church is covered in gambling. How are they doing that? I mean, I find that difficult to believe. How are they doing that?
Well, there's so many ways, Brother Julian, that the church is gambling, from lotto, from raffle tickets and bingo games and all these sorts of stuff. But one of the saddest commentaries I saw with the church doing these things the other day is in the era of a church was getting ready to have a domino slam off domino championship, and the first prize winner would have gotten $1,000, the second prize winner would have gotten $500, and the third prize winner would have gotten $250. The entrance fee to enter into this competition of this domino game was $25 per person. And if you was to pass the deadline, the entrance fee would have been $35 per person. And they said this is going to be fun and food and fun for the whole family. Well, ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine Jesus and his disciples in this time of his history sitting down on the dock by the bay, slamming dominoes with his friends, and people are dying all around for just tender love and care? Think about the family of Brother Craig Smith today. I mean, their hearts are wounded, I know. And there are a whole lot of people in my community are suffering from this ill effect of alcohol drinking. I mean, if you used to pass by my store today, I can show you at least 15 to 20 empty bottles of alcohol that these young men drink consistently daily. I mean, they would even bypass eating food just for a drink of alcohol or beer or whatever it might be. And my heart goes to them. I mean, the more you talk to them, the worse it gets. And I challenge any of the ministers of the gospel or any minister of the government or any person in the society of the Bahamas, just pass through my corner on Peter Street off East Street. And I'll show you some stuff, I mean, just blow your mind. And I mean, it's out of control. And my heart goes to these people because, see, most of us who are out and living on the outskirts of these areas, they call the nice areas or the gated communities, don't know exactly what's going on. And I invite you to come by one day, just spend a day with me, and you will see some of the things that I witnessed for myself. And just like Jesus says, because iniquity abound, the love of many will wax cold. And one of the sad part about this is, how do the family members that get incomes from these areas that sell things that are not good for people, how do you feel about this? Do you really think God is happy that, you know, you're living in a $1 million home or driving a $100,000 car and taking the best expensive trips all around the world, and you know you're selling products that are damaging the lives of your brothers and sisters? Yes, they are. The Bible says you should be your brother's keeper. But today, just before the breaking of our Lord through the clouds of the eastern skies, people are taking on the attitude like that of Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? And at the end of the result will be, when Christ asks you the question, you will hang your head in shame, and you will hear from him that day those sad words, "Depart from me, I know you not, ye that work iniquity."
But Paul, this sin of covetousness, does the Bible state, or do we have any idea when this sin began?
Yes, I do, Brother Julian. In the book of Isaiah, it all began in the courts of heaven with Lucifer. As a matter of fact, the first war that ever took place in the world actually took place in heaven. The Bible said, then there was war in heaven. That great prince, the great deceiver Lucifer, tried to rise up against Jesus Christ himself. And he lost the fight, and he was cast on into the earth. And Jesus had asked the devil the question in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. And he asked Lucifer this question: "How would thou fall from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How would thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne upon the stars of the north of God. I will sit in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." And sure indeed today, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is using people like you and I to exalt his throne above the Most High. That people are now worshipping the Creator, worshipping the creature instead of worshipping the Creator. The devil is transformed into an angel of light, and there's no great thing that he can make his ministers appear to be ministers of righteousness. This is why it's more and more important for you and I to study the scriptures for ourselves. Because on that great day, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's only going to be you and Christ. And the question is going to ask, what did you do in your spare time? Did you take the time to study the scriptures to see whether those things were so or not? And if you don't have an answer, here again, you will hear the awful words, "Depart from me, I know you not, ye who died in your iniquities."
But Paul, how do we, how can we know that the desires that we have? Because I think we all want to have good things and nice things. But how would I, as a Christian, know that my desires has it gone over that line, so to speak, into covetousness?
Well, Brother Julian, one of the ways of knowing this is by searching the scriptures. David said in the book of Psalms that I've hide the word of God in my heart that I may not sin against God. And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and do thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We need to put these things, weigh them out before our Savior. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the insight to find out, is this what I want to participate in? Is this something Christ will partake with me? Would he really enjoy this feast of whatever it is that I'm doing with me? One of the greatest areas that we have covetousness in today has been in the marriage area, when husbands and wives are coveting someone else's property. This is an area where we definitely need the power of the Holy Ghost in order to hold ourselves in check. Because, you know, the Lord has designed sex, and the devil knows this. This is not something that was invented by Satan. This is a beautiful ministry that was invented by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And sometimes there are a whole lot of things that go on in marriages that cause people to want to cover their neighbor's husband or their neighbor's wife. I mean, sometimes it might just be because for a bad past relationship or something like that. Whatever it might be, we realize that we need to go to Christ for the power in order to live the upright life, that we too will be not stand guilty of covering that which is not ours at the end of time.
So you're saying that it is possible to overcome this sin of covetousness?
Yes, it is, Brother Julian. And that only comes when you're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of his law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And all the fleshly things are those things that glorify ourselves, and not the Father, which is above.
So how, what if somebody finds themselves coveting stuff right now? What should they do? What should they do?
The first thing they should do, Brother Jude, they should acknowledge that they are coveting something that they should not be coveting, and they should take it before the Lord, remembering that God knows all our situation. As a matter of fact, he knows all things even before we even get ourselves involved in it. And he will show us so clear that this is not something that you should venture off into. And you should ask the Lord, you know, I have desire. I really, really want this. I really want to feast in this, whatever it is that is not right. I need you for the power. I need you to give me the strength that I can live the life that you live and you walk among men. You remember when Christ walked among men, he said, none of these things I do of myself. All these things I do of my Heavenly Father. Because see, when Christ walked the earth, divinity was wrapped up in humanity. And the only way he was able to do these things was by him submitting himself, surrendering himself to his Father every day. And this is why when he was tempted in the book of Matthew chapter 4, when the devil came to him and said, I command you to turn these stones into bread. Well, Christ had the power invested in himself to do that. But the devil quite well knew that if Christ had really turned the stones into bread after 40 days of fasting, he would eventually said goodbye to life. And also goodbye to our lives, because Christ came to die for us on Calvary's cross.
Are you telling the Bahamian people that they could lose out in heaven if they covet something that is not theirs?
Yes, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, in Matthew, in Revelation chapter 14 and Revelation chapter 22 to be exact, Revelation chapter 22 verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates, into the city. Now, a lot of people don't like to believe that, but that is true. There are ministers of the gospel today, they said, are teaching people that the commandments were nailed to the cross. Because we now are under grace, the law has now lost its flavor. But ladies and gentlemen, if there's no law, the Apostle Paul said there's no sin. I mean, Romans chapter 6 is filled with the examples that we should not make void the law through grace. What should we do? The Apostle Paul said, should we sin? He said, God forbid. I would not have known sin, but by the law. So the Ten Commandment law, like we've been saying over the past 4 years now, is only as a mirror in your house. It's a mirror that we have in our homes or in our cars or wherever, on the doorpost, wherever it may be. It only reveals the true nature, the true character of the problem. But here again, the mirror has no strength, like the law itself has no strength. We must always go to the schoolmaster of that law, which is Jesus Christ himself, and he will empower us to live the life that he lived. If not, the gospel won't be good news. Think about it. If the gospel is good news and you can't get the victory over sin, how much more sad news would you like to hear?
I have a question for you. Do you think that advertisers, persons who advertise the jewelry, the makeup, the cars, the houses, the stuff, do you think they contribute to our increase in covetousness?
Yes, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the lust of the eyes and the pleasures of life. The lust of the eyes, that's a part of loving not the world. The lust of the eyes are very, very, very built up today in the community around us. And there are so many things flashing at us, like Brother Julian said, from the newspaper, from the television commercials. See, ladies and gentlemen, these advertisers know that by truly these different commercials and do these different products being shifted around, people will tap into it. And when they sit around the business table and they wail from cause to effect, they realize that, hey, before we started advertising, we were making these amount of dollars. But since we've started advertising, we've increased these amount of dollars. So the advertisers know, and that's why the music be right, the background, everything about it. And they spend hundreds and thousands of dollars to put these commercials together in order to capture our attention. And before we know it, we are buying something we don't really need. I mean, I see them all the time with my young kids, my two young kids who I have home with me. I mean, if a commercial comes on TV, just on last week, my young son, I walked in the room and there was a commercial of this boat that can fly, go in the water and it can go on the land, it can also fly. And I had to tell my son, I said, don't let the commercial fool you. That what you see on the television is not what the product really can produce. So if I was his age, I know there would be something that would capture my attention. I would want something like that. So the Lord had me walking in just in the right time, let him know, don't let it enter your mind, son. That what you see is not real. That's only commercial. That's only camera tricks, I like to tell him. And those camera tricks can really deceive us if you don't ask the Lord for the power to stand in the faith.
Would you say then there's something wrong with advertising?
No, there's nothing wrong with advertising, as long as that which you're advertising is upbuilding the kingdom of God. If it is not, then you need to think again. For instance, with jewelry. I mean, there's no place in the Bible where God's children should be wearing jewelry at this time. As a matter of fact, there are two women in the book of Revelation. One of those women are dressed in jewelry, and the next woman is clothed with the sun, the moon, and the stars under her feet. The woman, I think, with the stars under her feet and clothed with the garment of Christ's righteousness in Revelation chapter 12. I think the one that is found with the jewelry, I think, is in Revelation chapter 17. If you have problem finding it, you can give us a call. I can give you that scripture. I'm sure the one with clothed with the sun, the moon, and the stars under her feet, with a rope hanging down to her feet, that woman is in Revelation chapter 12. And I think the one with the jewelry and all these sorts of stuff and the painting of the face is found in Revelation chapter 17 or Revelation chapter 18.
What would you have to say to young people, especially the young, maybe a little older than your kids, what would you have to say to them to deal with this particular sin of covetousness?
Well, one thing that I say to the young people, being young myself, is it's very important for you to choose your friends good. Your friends sometimes cause you to, what they call peer pressure, cause you to do things that you won't normally do if you're hanging out by yourself. Another most important thing I like to tell to the young people, because most time you discuss it among your young colleagues like yourself, before discussing it with your parents, if you discuss it with them at all, go to your parents and tell them what is your heart desire and put it before them, and they will give you, most of the time, more than 99% of the time, parents will always give you the right answer to your question. I think about our brother Samson. You know, Samson was warned by his parents to don't go after his wife. The name of his wife slipped me. And he told his parents, she pleases me well. You know, and from her pleasing him well, it caused Samson's life. But thank God he's listed in the faith chapter of Romans, of Hebrews chapter 14, I think that is, where after he asked the Lord to regain, give him his strength and let him die with the Philistines. The Lord did that. He restrained Samson back his full strength, and he is able to destroy the Philistines. And he, God's willing, based on the scriptures, he would be in heaven. That's the good news about Samson's story. But how many of us will die with the same faithful story like Samson, who rejected his parents when they told him, no son, not that one. And you know, like the parents treated him just like how Jesus treats us. But he will tell you, no, this is not the way. This is not the way, walk you away from it. And we say, no, Lord, this is the way we want to go. And like the loving Jesus like he is, his hands are untied and he lets you run your course. And before you know it, you're in a position where he had warned you long before you should not be.
Is peer pressure a part of covetousness?
Is peer pressure a part of covetousness? I guess all depends on what it is the peer pressure is indulging you to do. Here again, this is something you must put before the Lord and ask him, you know, is this something that I really should be desiring to do? Because here again, your friends should be thinking spiritually like you. And if you're not thinking spiritually, then today is the day maybe you need to pick up your Bible so you can start thinking spiritually. You can start doing the things that are pleasing the eyes of the Lord. You can read some of the Psalms, or maybe study some of the prophets of old and how they find themselves in difficult situations. And after the Lord sent counsel to them, and they rejected the counsel of the Lord, and they find themselves in position. I think about Joseph, who was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And Joseph said, how can I do this great sin, a sin against God? I also think about Moses, I think that was, who said, should I enjoy the pleasure of sin for, say, I would not enjoy the pleasure of sin for a moment. And Moses rejected, he said, I'll suffer the affliction first, then enjoy the pleasure of sin for a moment.
Brother Paul, we basically finished the Ten Commandments. What would you like to have, what would you want to say to the people since we've now finished the Ten Commandments as a whole, to give some general idea, some general comment on the whole Ten Commandments?
What I like to say about the Ten Commandments to our nation today is, maybe why don't you just take the time to sit down today and read the Ten Commandments in its full account for yourself in Exodus chapter 20. And when you read the Ten Commandments through in Exodus chapter 20, ask yourself the question, which one of the commandments are against you? Which one of the commandments will bring harm and disgrace or shame upon you and upon your family members? Which one of the commandments that you think should be done away with in the year that we are living in today? Are all 10 of them important today as all of them? Even our government have laws, and they're working overtime, trying to put laws in place left, right, and center, trying to keep law and order in this little town that we have here. But you know, over 6,000 years ago, God wrote 10 tables of commandments on tables of stone. He gave them to Moses. But the big dispute today, a lot of people say that those laws were nailed to the cross. They get Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 mixed up, where they talk about blood and the handwriting of ordinances. And they forget James 2, 8, where the Bible says, if we fulfill the law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and thou shalt do well.
But Paul, one of the things that we discuss when we're talking about the Ten Commandments, we talk about, is it possible to keep them? Is that possible? Is it possible? We talk about committing adultery and having other gods, and today we covered covetousness. Is it possible for us in this day and age, in 2006, in Nassau, Bahamas, to live without breaking any of these commandments?
Yes, it is possible, Judge Julian. Like I said earlier, if it's not possible, then that would be bad news. If it is not possible for me to overcome molesting little boys, if it is not possible for me to overcome coveting my neighbor's wife, if it is not possible for me to overcome my homosexual tendencies, if it is not possible for me to stop robbing the bank, if it is not possible for me to stop drinking alcohol and smoking marijuana and all these other sorts of stuff, it would not be bad news. But the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, once we trust in Christ, once we are rooted and grounded in Christ, He will give us the victory over all sins, like He said in His Word. And the good news is, He said, now unto Him that is able to keep you and I from falling, and to bring us forth, and to keep us from falling, that's the book of Jude, He is the only wise God. To Him be glory and dominion and power forevermore.
Thank you very much. Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for another opportunity and a privilege for us to come before your throne to bow our heads. We come before you, O God, first asking forgiveness of our sins and any transgression. Lord, we ask that you would be with us, Lord. We've finished the Ten Commandments, I think, for the third time now. Lord, we're asking you to go to those bedsides, to those radios where people are listening, and touch their hearts. Let them know that you are soon about to come, and that they can live this life that you want them to live. Help them and bless them. Give us the power and strength to do your will and your work, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope this program has continued to be a blessing to you as this year is just about winding down. We look forward to being of a more blessed during the upcoming year, 2007. Well, tomorrow, if I'm not going to be the day called Christmas Day. Well, during this time, remember, ladies and gentlemen, there are brothers and sisters who are less fortunate, who are hurting, who are longing for someone just to come and spend some time with them. This may be a good time for you to go and spend some quality time. Just read them a scripture and play them with some nice music and just listen to what they have to say, because this is the time when they see a lot of people commit suicide. During this time, it's called the festive season, because people are so depressed because there's no one there reaching out to them. On behalf of Marlene McKinney, who works in the background, who's no longer with us, and Renrick Bow, who's not here with us today, this is Paul Miller. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family.
May God richly bless you.